Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When investment performance matters, make sure your savings are with Zurich. Visit zurich.ie to find out more.
Do you know what this figure represents? 25,383. Well, that figure, that's a total number of Ukrainian people who have arrived in Ireland fleeing war. And of those, just under 17,000 have sought accommodation from state services. Top of the agenda then for today's cabinet meeting was a list of new steps to cater for those housing needs, which come on top of the existing housing crisis. After that cabinet meeting, I spoke to Housing Minister Dara O'Brien, and I asked him if he was confident today's measures would meet all the rising demands.
Well, Cormac, firstly, to recognise where we are is obviously, as everyone will understand, this is a war and we are on a war footing, and we're rightly so as a country responding to a terrible humanitarian catastrophe. And we've welcomed, and the Irish people have welcomed, over 25,000 Ukrainians here. The initial response has been obviously led by Minister Roderick O'Gorman on the emergency accommodation side, and it's no mean achievement that we've managed as a country to, in a short 6 week period, to accommodate through Roderick and through pledges and other things, 25,000 people, many of them being women and young children. The next phase really is what I was about today and in Cabinet this morning, is looking at the next phase of the response, which is about creating additionality, is about looking particularly at many of the larger buildings we have across the country as how they can be repurposed and refurbished to be able to house people in the medium to longer term. And we've already made some progress there. I'd done an initial trawl through the local authorities over the last few weeks. Over 500 properties came back. We've assessed them. We've completed the full assessment on about 89 of them, which will yield over 5,000 and bed spaces in those buildings.
Now these are vacant properties, Minister.
They would be vacant larger properties, some of them former hospitals, schools, that congregated type settings as well, where families can live safely.
So you're saying 90 buildings and 5,300 odd persons per building. So how many people is that per building?
Well, we're looking at potentially, Cormac, the buildings of different sizes, obviously, okay? And I've given, I'm not going to go into the specifics of where of the particular buildings, but they are of different sizes. We've done the assessments of them. There will be good accommodation there. We want to make sure that happens. And I think a very important thing, furthermore, was decided at Cabinet today, there would be a central point for other buildings that need to be more extensive work to be repurposed. And that will be led by a team within my own department, a new vacant housing delivery unit that will be headed up by a senior retired chief executive, and that we would be responsible there for fast-tracking the work, procuring that work, and ensuring that we can bring further properties on stream right across the country that are well located. So, you know, this is a big challenge. No one is saying that it is not.
Can I ask you about what you say in relation to some of the vacant buildings? And they must be sizable buildings.
Some of them are.
89 of them ready to go, you say, as of now. So when will they have people accommodated in them?
The first 89 buildings, Cormac, that we have and that we've assessed, you were talking within a matter of a week to two with many of them, some a little bit longer, but we're talking a matter of weeks.
And how long do you think it will take the rest of the buildings identified, vacant buildings across the country, to bring them up to speed?
Yeah, the next batch that we have are the ones that I would deem more medium term, and they might require work between 3 to 9 months on those buildings, some a little bit more. So there are a portion, the next portion that we would have would be able to accommodate a further 3,000 to 4,000. They will require more work.
Can I ask you about modular prefabricated homes? Because
yes,
I think that's part of the plan as well. How many of them and where will they be located, do you know?
The Office of Public Works have presented me two recent housing summits where I brought all stakeholders together, both public and private, and from the non-governmental organisations, homeless charities, Irish Red Cross across the board to, you know, go through their views and to seek their expertise in this. So OPW have presented in that space with regard to modular delivery of temporary type accommodation, but good quality at that. And the what we decided at government today is that we would proceed with that as part of the response. This is not the overall solution. Well, at the initial phase, we're looking at probably around 500, and sites are being identified. Again, that hasn't been finalised.
Any green lighted?
Well, at this, we want to start as soon as possible, Cormac. And
So, green light as of now modular homes.
Just to say, well, the green light was given from Cabinet today to proceed. If I could say this as well, when we select sites, we would have sent out specific site selection criteria, because again, we need to make sure that those sites which could well be greenfield are fully serviced, that we can access water, we can access wastewater and electricity. So that's important, that we need to know that that's done.
What do you mean by temporary? How short term will it be?
Well, the quality of the modular homes is very good in the ones that we have seen and would last a number of years, undoubtedly.
You're talking then about housing Ukrainian refugees in modular homes for years.
Well, Cormac, no one knows how long this war is going to last. We don't know what turn of events this may take into the future with the recent focus on the Donbass region. We've seen what's happened in Mariupol, in Kherson, and right across the Ukraine. What I'm saying to you is that we will use every lever available to us to be able to provide additional accommodation above and beyond what we're doing already.
But are they adequate for housing people for years?
I can tell you, Cormac, that what we're looking at doing will be adequate, will be more than adequate in many cases.
Will they meet all building regulations?
We want to make sure that that's the case. I think you'll appreciate, Cormac, that we're 6 weeks into this conflict. This is a war situation.
How much will the modular homes cost per home?
It varies, Cormac, and we're looking, I'm not going to go into specific cost right now.
Do you know them? Do you know the cost as of now?
I do.
So why, Cormac, not give us the cost?
Well, I'll tell you why, okay? Because it depends on the sites that are selected. The cost of one is of the house itself, okay?
And what then is the cost of the house
itself?
And then it's
the installation of that. What I would say to you is that they're not significantly cheaper in some instances, but they're quicker to build.
Are we talking about 300,000 per house?
Cormac, including construction of them, you can talk about the raw material cost and then construction. So what I'm saying to you is I'm not getting into that with you right now.
But I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because Minister Michael McGrath said that 3 billion euros put aside.
Potentially, yes.
So I want to know how much we'll get for that 3 billion euro.
Well, Cormac, 3 billion euro is the response across a whole range of things. That does not just relate to housing. Housing would be a part of that. That relates to all the other services that are required, the wraparound services, the health supports, the social welfare supports, all of those things that are required to assist our friends from Ukraine.
You're not willing to tell us how much the modular homes will cost?
I'm just saying to you now, it would be premature for me to give you an answer on that, because we're working through those right now. We have to also construct them. We also have to connect them to services. We need to bring water connections in. We need to bring electricity connections in. All of those things cost too. So if I was to give you a raw figure just for the materials alone, that would not be reflective
of what the build cost is. Do you know then, once these homes, the modular homes, have done their job and the people in them have got a more permanent home or have returned, hopefully for them, if they want to do so, to the Ukraine, will the modular homes be kept or will they be disassembled?
Of some of the modular homes, the ones that we have looked at would have a long lifespan of some of them up to 40 years and averaging on that. Obviously, what we want to do with regard to not just new homes, but repurposing of existing buildings, that there would be further uses for them into the future. But what we're doing now is the emergency response to the crisis that we have now, to be able to provide that additional accommodation above and beyond what we're providing already for people who need to be housed in Ireland.
You mentioned planning and you said you have an intention, or you will expand operational or construction building hours. What does that mean exactly?
Potentially would mean that we would allow in certain instances, with the input from the local authorities, to allow the construction time in any given day on a a building or a development to be lengthened, basically.
To what?
Well, that depends on the particular one. Would you allow the local authority to have the discretion to do that based on the work that needs to be done? Because we need fast delivery here, mm-hmm. particularly on the emergency accommodation side. So if I'm repurposing a building, for argument's sake, that we would allow the work people there who were working on it to have extended hours, obviously within all the bounds of safety and compliance would be done to allow the faster delivery. And again, I think people would understand that and would accept that and would appreciate that again, on a war footing, that it requires emergency
and people will appreciate
response.
That, but it may yes. be unpleasant for people living beside a construction site, well, and an awful lot of people do.
It may be, Cormac, but I think people again would understand that there may be a short, small inconvenience in comparison to what our friends in the Ukraine have had to put up with.
As you've alluded to, I think in fairness to Irish people, they welcome generally Ukrainian refugees with open arms. Some will say as well, why didn't you do this before now? If this is a significant move, if it will add additionality, to use your own words, why not do this before now to tackle the housing crisis?
Well, we've been doing many things, okay? Firstly, a war requires a further emergency response above and beyond what we have been doing. I have already been tackling vacancy within our social homes. I've brought back over 6,000 empty social homes back into use within the last 2 years, and I'm going to continue doing that this year. And those homes will be allocated to those who are on the social housing list right now. I've already removed planning and extended planning exemptions for converting commercial buildings to residential. I'd done that before the outbreak of the war. That will continue, and that will be expedited. So a lot of the measures, if you look at Housing for All as a plan, Cormac, there has never been a housing plan that has been fully funded to the tune of €4 billion.
What you're announcing today is an addition to the Housing for All. You're talking about expanded construction hours, modular housing, emergency vacant housing delivery units, director of services, a person at that level in all local authorities, yes. and a team for those people as well. Mm-hmm. You did none of this before.
Respectfully, I have to disagree with you, Cormac, because if you take on, you've mentioned that I'm appointing additional staff to local authorities to deal with this. Already this year, I've announced 300 additional posts for Housing for All for our housing teams right across the 31 local authorities in this country. What I've done now is to appoint an additional senior person for the emergency response, plus a team of around two or three. So you're probably looking at that of between 70 and 80 additional posts on top of the over 300 that I have approved already. So we have actually been doing it, Cormac.
You've asked people to come forward and offer accommodation if they have extra homes or within their own home. An awful lot of people, I think 24,000 offers to the Irish Red Cross,
yes.
but 50% of those or so have not materialised. Mm-hmm. And I just wonder, despite the resources you're throwing this, is the process too slow?
Well, what I'd say to you is the initial emergency response is obviously managed through the Irish Red Cross and the Department of Children, and they've been expediting the working through the generous offers that we made by Irish people for accommodation. And I know that hundreds of additional calls and allocations, I understand from Cabinet this morning, will actually be made. Some of the offers that were made haven't come to fruition. What my part of the work I'm doing on behalf of government is the next step and the next phase on that, which is how we can actually, you know, move people from maybe the temporary shelter that they have now into a more secure home on a semi-permanent basis. But we're aware that the pledges that are there, and government are aware of that, and I know Minister Roderick O'Gorman and his team have been working really hard on that through the pledges that have been made.
What would help, there was some talk of a stipend or some payment to homeowners of about €400 or so. Has that been discussed at Cabinet? Is there any confirmation of that?
I understand that work is ongoing between the relevant departments on that at the moment, Cormac, and I'm not at liberty to say any more than that. That would require a government decision, but I understand that there is work ongoing in that space.
And that's Housing Minister Dara O'Brien with me earlier on. With me now is Richard Boyd-Barrett, TD for Dún Laoghaire. Today, his party, People Before Profit, published a list of measures which he says could help solve both the housing and refugee crises. You're very welcome to the programme. Not with the Minister now, Richard Boyd-Barrett, you're welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Cormac.
What is your response, though, apart from your own list of measures, to what you've heard from the Minister today?
Well, look, I'm glad that he's on a war footing. I'm not glad there's a war in Ukraine and hundreds, you know, tens of thousands of people are fleeing it. But I'm glad he's now saying we're on a war footing. But of course, we declared a national emergency on housing and homelessness a number of years ago, and he should have been on a war footing, and successive governments should have been on a war footing long before now to address what is an absolutely catastrophic, and it's getting worse again, even without the Ukrainian crisis, crisis in terms of homelessness, unaffordable rents, more than 100,000 families on housing list waiting, you know, often up to two decades. So, yes, we need radical war type measures, if you like, to address this crisis.
You say this is not radical enough, though. Why?
Well, it remains to be seen. And this is why I wrote to the minister last week. He asked for suggestions. So we wrote to him and said, here's some suggestions. They're suggestions we've made before, but now they have to be implemented if we're going to, and I think we can, solve both the domestic housing emergency and accommodate Ukrainian refugees. And it remains to be seen, will the minister do it? So the first thing he needs to do is something they did do during COVID, is ban evictions. The numbers in homelessness have started to increase again once they removed the eviction ban. That needs to stop. If we don't want our emergency accommodation overloaded, the last thing you need is more people going into homelessness. And there's
and landlords say, what if people stop paying rent?
The eviction ban only applied to no-fault evictions, right? Of course, if somebody is absolutely behaving unacceptably, that's a different matter.
But know the effect it had. Some landlords just decided, too much regulation, too much restriction, I'm leaving.
This brings us to the second part of our proposal, which is acquisition of housing that's under construction, that's empty, that's vacant, that is coming on the market for public and affordable housing. And there is a lot of it. And in the letter I wrote to him, I just detailed some of the stuff that was in this area, near to this building indeed, and in Dunleary right down in South Dublin. I listed dozens of locations where there are big empty buildings. In one case, about half a mile from here, I won't name the building, a six-storey office building that could be repurposed very easily that has been empty for a decade.
But the minister made the point to me that they have looked at those buildings, those vacant buildings. 89 of them will be in operation and will be housing people within a week or two. And the other, there was 500 identified in total. They could be in operation within 9 months, he says.
Well, I hope finally we're going to do this, because that building I mentioned, I have raised on, I'd say, a dozen occasions with the various ministers over the last few years, and nothing was done about it. So if they're finally going to do it, and I'll believe it when I see it, let's see it happen. But the other thing, and I really want to stress this point, and it hasn't been emphasised, is all of the buildings that are now happening. If you go along the N11, and I'm sure this is true, the M50 and other areas, there are dozens of apartment complexes that are near completion. They're under construction, hundreds and hundreds of units. Mm-hmm. Now, as it stands, only 10% of those will go to social housing, and the rest will be charged absolutely astronomical. They're mostly built to rent, astronomical rents that nobody can afford. The state should immediately step in and acquire a much higher proportion, if not whole blocks,
well,
of this accommodation.
A lot of them are sold already, aren't they?
I would highly doubt it, because most of them are built to rent. And virtually everything that is coming on the market, virtually all of the new construction is built to rent. And they're charging in this area rents of €2,200 a month.
A lot of them would be sold off plans, wouldn't it? Be they to investment funds or whatever?
They're sold to investment funds, but on a build to rent basis. So they'll be rented out. Now, the point is, the state will end up paying anyway with HAPs for most of these, because people can't afford those rents. It would be far cheaper, better value for the state to step in now and acquire them.
Even if a deal is done?
Yes, I think the government are now saying, and we've said this for some time, that they do actually have emergency powers in emergency situations. This is certainly an emergency situation.
So to seize property, basically, is what you're saying.
Essentially, I mean, to requisition and pay for it, sure, pay for it, because we'll be paying either way with HAPs, but let's pay for it, and actually the state owns an asset, and then you could get thousands and thousands of families who are waiting on housing lists into decent, permanent, secure accommodation, and free up space for people fleeing the war in Ukraine.
You would certainly get the accommodation, but I wonder what message it would send to investments from that may come to Ireland.
Well, to be honest, I think with the money that they would be getting for these, they wouldn't be making a loss. I mean, you know, look at the prices these people are charging at the moment. But
even at the prices, which are extortionate, for purchase, it would work out cheaper than leasing arrangements or HAP arrangements, individual HAP arrangements, where, you know, at the moment, if you are to get a HAP-supported tenancy at the moment, the state is paying out €1,900 a month in reality in this area.
Well, let's see if he goes down that road. I have my doubts based on his track record in that regard to date. He doesn't like seizing property, nor does Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil.
Point is, it shouldn't be allowed that when we have all these people on the housing lists and the state is going to subsidise it anyway, that we don't get secure, affordable housing for people on the housing list.
I want to get your reaction to the Minister's plans on modular or prefab housing. These could be on greenfield sites. He wouldn't tell me the cost of these housing, though. What do you make of that?
Look, in the face of emergency, I think it is a reasonable thing to look at that, but it has to be decent quality and it cannot be a substitute for over the longer term. So if we have to do certain things in the short term to address the crisis, absolutely. Although, to be honest, I honestly believe if you look at the stuff that is being built and we get a higher proportion of it, and if we deal with the issue of vacant and derelict property, much of which is being sat on by investors. I mean, this week I'll be highlighting again the plight of the apartment complex in Dunleary, St. Helens Court, where five tenants are facing eviction at the end of this week for doing nothing wrong. But in the same complex, there are 15 perfectly newly refurbished apartments that have been sitting empty for 2 years. And I've been begging the government to go in and just get them. Now, that's true. We know there's empty properties, apartments down in the Docklands, all over the city. So let's start with that. Oh, okay. But yes, it's reasonable to look at modular as long as it's decent quality.
Modular for years to house families or people in modular housing. For years, he mentioned to me. Is that acceptable in your opinion?
It would, first of all, it would depend on the quality. It has to be decent quality, right? It can't be, it can't be poor quality.
He said they're good quality, but he also mentioned greenfield sites. And there is a question, I suppose, about the services and recreation facilities and so on around the modular housing.
Yeah, and it wouldn't be acceptable if what we're building is poor quality or putting people into poor quality housing. I don't think that is necessary. I mean, the point is, and we saw it during COVID, when there is a will, there is a way. And resources that we were told that weren't available suddenly became available. And I think the same applies now in dealing with the current crisis. And the point is, actually, it'll save the state money. If we seriously invest in solving the housing crisis, it will save money because the taxpayer is paying anyway through what is it now in excess of €1 billion in HAP payments every year, and the state has nothing to show for it.
Well, let's see if the minister and the government take you up on some of your suggestions. Richard Boyd-Barra, TD for Dún Laoghaire and of People Before Profit. Thank you very much indeed.